And as we gather on this day that God has made, what a joyful opportunity to gather within the household of faith. I'd like to thank all who were involved in helping with the wonderful coffee hour on last Sunday. What a nice opportunity to gather together and at table, and not only to eat, but to commune together. That's always, always a blessed time. Our May mission of the month is Jackson's legacy, and we will receive our contributions to that on today. We'll be placing flags on the cemetery, on the graves in the cemetery today after service. I saw Assemblyman Angelo Santa Barbara at an event on yesterday, and he said he'll be here. And I said the sermon will still be going on when we'll be done at that time as we worship together. And as we typically do on Memorial Day, during our time of prayer, we pray for those who have died serving our country. And one of the ways I do that is I invite you, as we have a time in our prayer of quiet, I invite you to speak their name. And in doing so, we remember them that way. And many of us have loved ones or relatives, but we know they did not make it back home, who have died serving their country. We want to remember them on this Memorial Day. I know for some, this is the unofficial start of summer, and sometimes we may forget the significance of this day. So we would like to remember them. So in our prayer, pastoral prayer time, please be prepared and know that we will be remembering those who have paid the ultimate price. We will be having a VBS meeting on next Sunday, and you're working VBS, or maybe you're thinking, maybe I would like to volunteer, I just don't know what I can do or how much I can, come to the meeting and you'll find out information. And I tell you, you'll be blessed. It is always a blessing every year. It's work, certainly is. It is challenging work, oh yes, but it is rewarding work as well. And then our next Jenny's Lunch will be on June 12th at the noon. The menu will be hot dogs, meat, sauce, toppings, German potato salad, macaroni salad, chips, and dessert. You'll see those to whom Nancy McClea, who you will contact, should you wish to attend on that day. And then Craig is organizing ushers and greeters for service, and if you'd like to serve, why, let him know, place you right on the list. The choir will not sing today, and we'll move that to later on in June. I think the second Sunday in June is where we're looking. All right, are there any other announcements we wish to share? Craig.
I just want to let everyone know that the June newsletter is in the back if you want to get a copy. Otherwise, you'll get the electronic copy this month if you're on the email list. For July, please submit your things. Unfortunately, my office is going to be torn up, so I won't have access to printers. But if you still want the electronic copy, you can still have it. So I encourage people to send stuff in. If you know, the planets align and the stars align, maybe I'll have a greater band, but I'm thinking that it's going to be a month-long affair.
All right. So be mindful that perhaps on July's edition will be online. Are there any other announcements? So good to see each and every one of us together as we worship this morning. Hearing no other announcements, our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prelude. Let us join together in the singing of our introit. If you're able to stand with us, I invite you to stand at this time. Oh, worship the Lord, the beauty of his holiness. Assurance will come to us from Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. God bless you. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing, beseeching him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us."
And when he had seen the vision, immediately
setting sail, therefore, from Troas, we made direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia, the Roman colony. And we remained in the city some days.
And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who went on together.
One who heard us was a woman named Lydia of the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to give heed to what she said to what was said by Paul.
And when she was baptized with her household, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed.
This is a wonderful narrative, and I would encourage you to read on in Acts chapter 16, some wonderful words, description of what God has done in Macedonia and in that area. Well, our first hymn of praise, 354, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a blessedness, what
trusting arms. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he might have mercy upon us, and to our God, that he might abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry, and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed, and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak and abuse the earth you have made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant, given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, on this sixth Sunday of Easter. Hear us as we spend a few moments of prayer and reflection, Holy God. Hear us as we pray. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. I'm sorry. We say that often. I'm sorry for something we have done. And isn't it wonderful that we hear the words, I forgive you? Well, God says those words to us as well. Just now we have joined together in a corporate confession of our prayers, our sins. And we say to God, I'm sorry. And God says to us, when there's genuine confession, I forgive you. And we hear these words, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beloved people of God, believe this good news and let us live in the loving kindness of our God. Just before we are seated, let us affirm what we believe by saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Hear these words that our Lord Jesus Christ have said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second one is like to it. You should love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commandments depends all of the law and all of the prophets. Amen. All right. Our words of assurance will come to us this morning from Psalm 67.
Thy saving power among all nations, let the peoples praise thee. O God, let all the peoples praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou dost judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise thee, O God, let all the peoples praise thee. The earth has yielded its increase. God, O God, God our God, has blessed us. God has blessed us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
This is the word of the Lord. To hear the voices of our young when they read. I personally care not how long or how fast they read. It's to hear their voices of all the things that the young are called to say and to do these days. Isn't it wonderful to hear them read the scriptures and to hear the word of God come forth out of their mouths? So I just want to say a quick thank you to Nancy Gore and the ways that she organizes readers to come, adults and the young, as they gather together. And for our children's sermon, just a quick mention that goes alongside, I think, with Memorial Day. Many of the women and men who died serving their country did so, and they did so serving under the flag of our country. And one of the ways that we honor our country is we say the Pledge of Allegiance. And I always love it when I'm in one of our schools and I'm there during the time that the pledge is being recited. And I'm old school, and so whenever I hear the pledge being announced and recited, I stand still and I place my hand over my heart. And I was tickled one day. I was in one of our schools, and Well, I'll go ahead and mention, I won't mention the staff, but I'll mention the school. It was the high school. And I was walking to the hallways of the high school and was fixing to go to a meeting. I heard on the announcements the pledge beginning, and I stopped and I put my hand over my heart, and I saw some teachers walking over, and when they saw me, from the school board, they stopped. They would have kept on going had they not wrecked. And I thought about that, and I said, okay, are you just stopping because of the person you see there, or for our country? But one of the reasons I mentioned that is being hearing impaired. Sometimes I don't hear the words expressed. And when I first began saying the pledge, this is how I said it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I thought the word was indivisible. And for a long time as a kid, I was wondering, why in the world are we saying indivisible? The nation, God bless you, it's not, and it, you know, spread all the way up here too. No, and the word is not indivisible, it is indivisible. That means that you cannot break it apart. That one nation under God ought to be one that cannot be divided against itself. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we lived in a nation like that? I would say, wouldn't it be wonderful if we worshiped in a church like that, where we can't be divided, that we're all one together. And so what a joy it is to recite the pledge and remember the women and the men who gave their lives in service, and those who are presently serving our country on these days. All right, our next hymn of praise, 460, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Please be seated. I think I've said it before. I love to hear you sing as we sing together. We ought to rent a bus and hit the road and go different places singing. What wonderful voices you have and that we share together as we sing about the one we love all the way. Our Savior leads us. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, as we gather together around your word, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us. To send upon us, we pray that the scriptures that we read might be thoroughly and faithfully proclaimed, because you would open up our eyes of understanding. Use this vessel of clay as an instrument toward that, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning will take us to John's Gospel, John chapter 14, and we are reading verses 23 through 29. John chapter 14, and then verses 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." Verse 29 is the last. "And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." What the text we have before us, oh, by the way, the sermon title was A Pair of Feet. Forgot to mention that. A Pair of Feet. Now you heard the reading, you have not seen the words feet there, nor a pair of feet. You say, where in the world did that come from? Well, hold on for just a little bit. And we'll seek to share that in just a moment or two. But our lectionary chose those particular verses, and we did not read the last two verses, nor the verse before. And the reason I mentioned that, we started with verse 23, and Jesus answered him. And I'm always one, when I read something, I ask questions. Well, who's the him? Who did Jesus answer? Well, when you look in the verse before, you'll see these words in verse number 22. Judas, and in parentheses, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And notice how Judas was described. He wasn't Iscariot. Iscariot, Judas Iscariot, is that one who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. His name became synonymous with betrayal. And so anyone else who shared his name made it real clear, I'm not the Iscariot fellow, I'm a different person. And I thought about that. How do people react when they hear our name? Our names mean something of importance, particularly when we use our name to proclaim the love of Jesus. But Jesus answered him this way, "How will you manifest yourself to the world. And Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come. And notice the next phrase there in verse 23. We will make our home with them. I've always been fascinated by that word home, because earlier on in chapter 14, my favorite passage, the first six verses, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and he has prepared a place for us. And we think about that glorious time in which we're able to see God, and we're able to join together with those who have gone on before and are there right now. And we talk about, that's my heavenly home. As a kid growing up, I remember singing this song in church. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And then we'll talk about being a pilgrim in this old world. And this is just not my home is up there. But notice Jesus said that God will make this place a home. That we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience the goodness of God. We can know the goodness of God down here. And one of the ways we know the goodness of God is in the words that Jesus begins. If a man loves me, that word love is that word agape, that highest type of love. And when we love God, we also love God's people. And Jesus goes on to describe how he and the Father are one and the same. They just brag about each other, is one way of looking at it. Whatever Jesus talks about, the Father talks about. God says the same thing. Oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit does that as well. They all complement each other. And the Spirit of God shares the things that Jesus have said. And then verse number 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. And he said, these things I spoke to you while I'm with you. You know, Jesus says something to the disciples that caused them distress. He said, I'm going to leave you. And they began to become grief-stricken. Because Jesus had walked and talked with him these many years, and now he's going to go. What do we do? But Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, I'm going to give you a comforter. Now, remember those words, a pair of feet? I love the Greek, and I love the Hebrew. I love studying those, but sometimes it's difficult for me to remember some Greek words and some Hebrew words. And so a pair of feet helps me to remember comforter, because the word comforter in the Greek means paraclete. Paraclete, a pair of feet, paraclete. That's just the way this old noggin works. Paraclete literally means is a combination of two words. It means to call alongside of. Call alongside of. Now, some of us are familiar with that. We have sports fans here. How many are sports fans? You like baseball, basketball, I think NASCAR is your sport. No, just kidding. NASCAR, you know, you like that. I learned in this country, you like those sports, and you call alongside of your whatever team you're rooting for, don't you? Go! You can do it. I won't mention the name of my team because it doesn't win too often. Yeah, I will. Commanders. And I love the Washington. And when the quarterback has the ball and they're fixing to go in the right direction, toward the goal, and they're about to score, I'm just screaming at that television. Now that quarterback can't hear me. I'm screaming at the television, go, 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 yay, we won. Well, We didn't do anything at all. I'm sitting in my chair eating my chips and drinking my coffee. And I didn't do anything. But we won. Well, to call alongside of the Holy Spirit is one who lives in us, and he goes alongside of us, reminding us that we belong to God, that we are his, and that this world is not our home, and we're at home with God when we love him, and we love each other, and how do we keep on, keep it on? Well, it's the Holy Spirit who calls alongside of us. It is almost as if there's a pair of feet going along with us as we travel. And Jesus says, I'm sending someone who's like that one who will go along, and he will teach you all things and bring everything back to your mind. You know, that's why when we worship, before we have we preach the sermon, you'll see in the bulletin, prayer for illumination. I always think about that as a grace. Whenever I sit down to eat a meal, I say my grace. And sometimes I say it quietly. If I'm in a restaurant somewhere, I don't get up and say, well, all right, bow down with me. I just say it quietly, and I say grace for my food. And I bow my head and I pray. And whenever I come to the Word, I do the same thing. I ask the Holy Spirit to open up my eyes so that I might see and understand His Word. And that's how we know it. And that's how we understand it. One other thing Jesus said that I love so much, he not only talked about love, but he uses and speaks about something wonderful in verse number 27. And now I'll leave us with these thoughts, if you would, please. Verse number 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Peace, Rene. That peace that God gives. And the text says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. And it's not that Jesus is repeating himself. He's saying two different things. The first word, leave, is to permit, to forgive, or to release. Those are the three words that Greek word means. To forgive, to permit, or to release. And so it doesn't make sense that when you define it, you say, the peace I forgive you. No, that doesn't make sense. So next. Permit. The peace I permit. No, that doesn't make sense. But what does make sense is the last word, release. You know, God has a whole lot of peace, and he doesn't keep it to himself. He gives to us. Now, I was raised in the hippie days. I'm the last of the baby boomers, 1964. And I can remember, you know, everybody, peace. Remember that? Some of us are old enough to remember that. Other of us will have to look in the history books to know that. Peace! And Jesus is speaking of a different type of peace. The peace that comes from knowing God, loving God, and loving one another. That peace. And he says, the peace I release to you. I'm not keeping it all to myself. I release. And then he said this, the peace I give it to you. I'm not only releasing, but I'm just making sure you have enough. Peace. Peace. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled. Now that word troubled is the word that talks about being tossed to and fro on the water. I know of some people who are camping this weekend, and perhaps some people took their boats out and went on the Sacadaga somewhere else. Oh, they chose a pretty good weekend to do those sorts of things. You know, the wind is blowing and rain is coming down and you're on that water and it's kind of rocky back and forth. Well, sometimes our life is that way. Our life is rocky. Things happen. Unexpected news. We go to the doctor and they say we need to talk about something. We saw test results. Our world is rocky. We receive a phone call, so-and-so was in a collision or accident, and all of a sudden our world is rocky. Or perhaps we get mail and we see past due, foreclosure, whatever, and our world is rocky. And Jesus said that he gives peace to us, not like the world gives. So we need not be troubled. God will take care of it. And God continues to take care of it. And he goes on to explain how in verse 28. He said, I come to you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I go to the Father and the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place so that when it does take place, you may believe. Oh, how much God loves us. I'm so glad he left a pair of feet to go alongside of us in this whole world to remind us we're not alone, we're not destitute, we're not defeated, we are not doomed, but things will work out by God's grace. We don't know how, but we know who is the one who holds our future. Thanks be to God. Father God, we thank you for your love and your words. We thank you for your grace. We thank you also that you are a God who reminds us that you not only have provided salvation to us so that we might live eternally with you, but you help us each step of the way in this old world we live in. And help us to keep our eyes upon you. Help us to trust you, even in uncertainties of life around us, we pray, in your most holy name. Amen. Right now, we invite our ushers to come as we receive our offering and our mission of the month. thank you and praise you for this opportunity to receive these gifts. We ask your blessing upon them in Christ's most holy name. Amen. Let us pass the peace. Every now and then there are things that occur and that happen that tickle the daylights out of me. In a moment, you probably have noticed it took me a little bit to get up when the offertory was being prepared. And this is the reason. It wasn't because I was taking a nap. Fran was playing a melody of different songs, and the first one was Shepherd of Love, and I was singing along with that, and I sang along with the second one. But for the life of me, I don't know what the last one was. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm trying, what was that?
Lead Me On.
I'm sorry?
Lead Me On.
Oh, Lead Me On. Okay, yeah, I don't know that one. I don't know that at all, but I enjoy singing. And all of a sudden, it got quiet. And then I heard something and I saw eyeballs. I felt eyeballs then. So, okay, anyway, that's it. It's so hard to mess up when you're up in front. It's just noticeable. As we come to our prayer and praise time, I will remind you that during our prayer, I will pause and invite you to speak out loud the names of those who have lost their lives serving our country. I want to invite us to pray for a couple of friends of mine that I am not able to say their names because of the privacy of the situation, but some things that they're going through right now. And I'm so grateful to know that God knows exactly who we mean when we say that. And so if we can remember them. I wonder, are there others that you would like us to remember as we come to the Lord in prayer? Linda.
This week I began going over the workbook for General Synod, which is coming up in June.
Yes.
I feel we really need to pray for our church. I feel in many ways they're going astray. It's just amazing what's in that workbook. So please pray for our church.
Yes, in our denomination, in a number of directions that's happening. And by the way, if you're interested in the workbook, you can find it on the website there. And it will describe some of the decisions that Linda and others, when they go to Arizona the first week of June, first full week of June, to deliberate over decisions that's before us. Are there any others? Hearing none, let us go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Holy Father, thank you that as we were reminded in the text this morning that you love us and you invite us to show the love that you have for us, for one another in this world. And then that you grant us your peace. And how much we need that. Father, this world is so wrought with challenges and pain and discouragement and, and death and sorrow. Yes, there's happiness, and yes, there's joy, and yes, there's fun times and good times, and many of us have opportunity when we gather around friends and family, and we celebrate, and we have a wonderful time of reunions and celebrate birthdays and all the rest. We're not saying this world is totally and completely doom and gloom, but there are some times that's challenging in our world. And thank you that we serve a God who's in control. Thank you that we serve a God whose love is beyond our bounds. And thank you that we serve a God who releases and gives us his own peace. And so, Father, we offer our prayers unto you. I pray for my two friends and their particular needs this day, this hour, and even these weeks ahead. Father, thank you that you are a powerful God who's able to do far beyond what our feeble tongues can ask. We pray for young people and older people who are graduating from college and who have graduated, and some have ceremonies for high school coming up in this area. We pray for safety for many who will be celebrating and having parties and all the rest. We pray for these. Father, I pray for our denomination and many of our delegates, and Linda included, who will be gathering together to discern and to decide and to vote on various different directions that this denomination is seeking to go. Grant wisdom, discernment, empowerment, Father, that this denomination might continue to be that witness of Christ upon this world, who desperately need to know the darkness of this world, and the only light is that light that you shine and that you offer. Father, on this weekend where we pause and we remember women and men who have given their lives in service to our country, we remember them. We thank you for their sacrifice. We remember their lives and we honor their service. And right now, as we might speak the names of some that we know of, we offer them these names in gratitude to you. Hear us as we express their memory.
All the hospital corpsmen that were lost during Vietnam, and all the soldiers that were lost in Vietnam, their sacrifice appears to be for nothing.
In Washington, D.C., we have at the Arlington National Cemetery the tomb of the unknown soldier, unknown perhaps by us, but known fully by you. And Father, we remember many whose names are never uttered, and perhaps whose graves are never visited. And they are forgotten by some, but not by you. We thank you for their service. Whether in times when our nation have treated our soldiers horribly, or whether some have entered into airports with cheers and flags waving, not all have had that experience. And a number of our military suffer in such a way that they take their own lives because of the things that they have experienced and are experiencing. We remember these as well. And Holy Father, as we do so, we remember the words you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, is our final hymn, hymn number 43. Let's join together as we sing. Countenance upon you and grant you his peace.